What's next for Greece and the Eurozone? From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The Greek parliament adopted new austerity measures last night, paving the way for a third rescue package worth more than $90 billion. For the reaction in Europe, we called John Syropoulos, a reporter based in Athens. He joins us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Austerity managed to make it through the Greek parliament last night. So how are European leaders reacting to this news?
Well, I think that the first reaction has come from Germany's Chancellor Wolfgang Schäuble, who has said that as far as he's concerned, a Greek exodus from the Eurozone is still the best answer for Greece. But his opinion is well documented that he doesn't believe Greece has the discipline to stay within the Eurozone and to pay out that proportion of its economy he thinks is required to service the debt.
So meanwhile, Greek banks remain closed. What's next for the banks after this deal's passage?
2 weeks ago, when the International Monetary Fund issued its preliminary debt sustainability analysis, it said Greece would need 52 to 53 billion euros to finance itself to 2018. Now it says that sum has gone up by about 25 billion because it believes that's the difference that will be required to refinance the banking system. That is 25 billion euros of extra money Greece will need over the next 3 years simply because of the bank closure for the last 2 weeks.
All right. John Syropoulos also writes at thenewathenian.com. John, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. European markets surged after the vote in Greece. Germany's DAX is up 1.5%, as is the CAC 40 in Paris. London's FTSE 100 is up 0.5%. Schlumberger kicks off earnings season today for the oil and gas equipment and services industry. The global oil field services company will report its second quarter profits after the close, and they're expected to be down over the year. Low oil prices have forced the industry to scale back dramatically. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looks now at how that has affected the broader economy.
Researchers at the investment bank Goldman Sachs say the decline in U.S. oil drilling activity has taken a bite out of GDP, as much as 0.5 percentage point in the first 6 months of the year. That's because oilfield companies are spending a lot less on drilling new wells and buying new equipment. They've also laid off thousands of workers.
I think in the short term, it's possible that the costs have outweighed the benefits.
Stephen Kopitz is with Princeton Energy Advisors. He says it takes longer for the positive effects of cheap oil, like lower prices at the pump, to show up in the economy.
It means your milk is a little cheaper, that you can drive a little farther.
Economist Phil Verlegger says cheap oil will prove beneficial long term, but he says big oil producing states may continue to smart from it for a while.
This is a trade-off. North Dakota and Texas were having booms while the rest of the country was stagnating. Now the rest of the country is picking up.
But Verlegger thinks oil prices will pick up and lift oilfield companies' payrolls and profits. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Now to Southern California and the ongoing debate over the minimum wage there. Los Angeles recently decided to raise its minimum wage over the next 5 years to $15 an hour. That makes it the largest city in the U.S. to do so. But just 40 miles south of L.A., the city of Irvine recently voted to repeal the so-called living wage ordinance, a rule that required city contractors to pay their employees more than the state's minimum wage. Irvine is an affluent suburb in Southern California where the median household income is more than $90,000 a year. Marketplace's Caitlin Esch reports.
I'm standing outside of Irvine City Hall, and the grass is green and well-maintained. The hedges are shapely. The landscaping is beautiful.
That's partly because of gardeners like Manuel Nieto, who drives up in a John Deere tractor.
I'm working landscaping and in this park for 7 years.
He says he loves his job. He makes $12.30 an hour, well above California's state minimum wage of $9 an hour. Nieto's employer has multi-million dollar contracts with the city stipulating it pay workers at least $10.82 an hour with benefits, more without. That's because of a living wage ordinance that applies to city contractors providing services like street cleaning and security. It was passed back in 2007 when Democrats had control of the local city council. Larry Agron served on the council then. He's a Democrat.
I felt that we really were doing something pioneering and important, and that we were changing people's lives for the better.
Today, Agron is no longer in office, and the council is under Republican control. Councilman Jeff Lalloway voted in the overwhelming majority to repeal the living wage. At a city council meeting, Lalloway said the living wage isn't enough to live off of anyway.
It's a feel-good wage.
He says it's an unfair burden on taxpayers, and it's also a philosophical issue.
We should all be seeking ways to have our economy grow. Businesses can still pay their employees whatever they like without having us to mandate what that is.
How will this play out? David Newmark is an economist at the University of California, Irvine.
There are very few cases that I'm aware of in modern history of either living wages or minimum wages being repealed. My guess is these companies will be able to pay slightly lower wages. They'll probably have somewhat more employees, so there might be, you know, somewhat more jobs at somewhat lower wages.
The new wage floor, the state's minimum of $9 an hour, will take effect as current contracts expire. In Irvine, I'm Caitlin Esch for Marketplace.
And the Little White Chapels of Las Vegas have lost some of their appeal. The Las Vegas Sun reports that last year, 47,000 fewer couples tied the knot in that city than a decade ago. At its peak, Vegas hosted one out of every 20 weddings in this country. The county clerk is pushing a $14 increase in the cost of a wedding license to support an ad campaign to lure more happy couples. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.